Welcome back to the Gary Sharp Show here on 1620 The Zone. Gary Sharp out today. I'm Robbie Lula filling in. And we've got Brian Christofferson here on our unnamed hotline from Husker 24/7. Brian, how you doing today?
Pretty good. I'm a little tired. We came back from Indy last night, so it was kind of a late flight, but I've got some coffee in me. I'm ready.
So I had heard that the flights to and from Indy from Omaha, I assume you flew into Omaha, were a little wonky in their connections. Were you able to get a direct flight, or did they send you to Atlanta?
We went on the way back. We went through Charlotte, the old that classic Indy to Charlotte to Omaha flight, and so that was real. Charlotte was surprisingly hopping late last night at the airport there. I didn't know if like Larry Johnson and Muggsy Bogues were in town or something. It was just like you wouldn't have thought that at like 10 p.m. on a Thursday in Charlotte.
Listen, Charlotte, big nightlife town. You didn't know.
I guess.
So you were at Big Ten Media Days, and it seemed like, at least in my sphere of the people that I listen and talk to, that Trev Alberts kind of knocked it out of the park at Media Days. Kind of give me what you saw from him and what made him so impressive to kind of everyone that spoke with him.
Yeah, no, I get where people hear that or read that, and they're sort of like, isn't this what we hear every time somebody new, like, takes a microphone? We're sort of like, oh, he won that press conference, you know. We sort of, and that's unfortunate. We probably do, like, cast everybody as succeeding in that category. I would differentiate Trev's performance. He talked for about 13 minutes off of the side with media. It was one of the better ones I've heard from a Husker AD, and the reason was he's a forward thinker, but he's candid. He doesn't just speak words out into the air with nothing interesting to them. Every like question and answer, when I went through it, I was like, man, he said something there. And I know I've been driving back, so I was listening to you talk about Kevin Warren, and one of Kevin Warren's biggest problems, at least as a upfront guy, is that he sort of just speaks word salad, you know, like he kind of like it. There's just a lot of stuff like I do a lot of times where you can't land the helicopter and you don't really get to a point. And Trev, you know, he acknowledged there's warts still in the football program, but you know, I like the fact that he's embraced that Nebraska is in the Big Ten. That is the way it is. People need to kind of move off of looking over the other fence to see what's over there around here. And I think the Oklahoma-Texas news this week actually is finally going to help people sort of get away from that nostalgia of the old Big 8, Big 12, and sort of realize, like, okay, right now the important thing is you have a seat at a table that is stable, and Nebraska has that. And Trev Alberts realizes that. Whether you like some of the things of the Big Ten or don't, or find some quirks about it, it's still a very good league to be in. And frankly, for the football program, the wins haven't come, but it's not like they don't have a roadmap that's accessible through the Big Ten West, which has some solid teams, but not, you know, I mean, with Wisconsin and Iowa, sort of some of your top teams, it's not anything that you can say, hey, if we can get some things right, we can win that division, and we've got a map to, you know, be a part of the conversation here. And that's sort of what you're looking for, a league that's stable, where you're doing well financially, and it gives you a good roadmap to success through winning on the field. And the league does all of that, and I think Trev Alberts gets that, but his big assignment is going to be figuring out who are the power brokers behind the scenes in the Big Ten, who really moves the levers. Is that Kevin Warren? Is it other people we don't even know about? and how do you communicate with them and actually have Nebraska have a voice at that table, which I think has sort of been missing. And obviously winning helps too, yeah. I mean, you got, if you win, your voice seems to matter more, as we saw last year, where, you know, Ohio State and Nebraska basically had the same opinion about things, but one got slam dunked on and the other didn't, and that's because one wasn't winning and the other was.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because obviously the ship at Nebraska gets righted if Nebraska starts winning football games, right? But I'm curious what you think outside of that, because obviously Trev Alberts can't go out there and score touchdowns or make tackles or anything like that to directly make that happen. But it was pretty clear when Bill Moose got hired what his main objective was, right? If you had to say what the main objective is for Trev Alberts as he gets hired as the athletic director, what would you say that is?
Two things. Figuring out, he used the word apparatus. The apparatus is in place around the football coaches to succeed, and then it's up to them. You know, basically clear the deck for them, for Scott Frost, for Fred Hoiberg, to coach and recruit. And Scott Frost had a really interesting quote the other day. He didn't get in all the specifics, but he said, there's 1,000 things, you know, that I've probably done in the last 3 years that don't have anything to do with football or recruiting. And there's this, like, long list of things that build up that take your attention away from it. And so I think a big part of Trev's job is figuring out how to kind of clear the deck for those coaches, so that they have sort of a narrow focus. It's just like it comes down to coaching ball, you know, and succeeding at that. And that's the way those guys want it. So that's a big part of it. And then obviously if your coaches, if you give them all of that and you feel like you've done that and they fail for a couple of years, I mean, then you gotta really make some tough decisions. But they did seem to be on the same wavelength the other day, Trev and Scott Frost, and they talked 4 times, and it seems like they sort of kind of understand where each other's coming from. So it's off to a good start there. But the other thing that Trev Alberts has to do is that Big Ten part. I mean, I think Nebraska's got to grow their relationship in the league, you know, where they feel like they can be heard, and where they're not always some punchline and all this stuff. And, you know, I feel like Nebraska's still a little bit on the outside looking in that league. And that's why the fan base does get nostalgic sometimes. But you have to understand, we can't go back to 1988. You know, that's not coming back. And this everything is changing by the day. So you have to win games too, to make yourself more valuable, because let's say in 5 years, everything shifts dramatically again. You know, Nebraska football and men's basketball need to make themselves attractive in case anything wild happens, and then, you know, you're wanted.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Big Ten, because I've been wondering what Nebraska needs to do in order to, I don't know if get a seat at the table is the right word, but to become a more influential part of the conversation in the Big Ten. Is it as simple as they have to hold up their end of the bargain, win games on the football field, or is there more to it?
I think that's a big part of it, frankly. I mean, I think if you become that program that is constantly, you know, in the national primetime games, and that just elevates you in the meeting rooms too. I have to think that. But I also think it's having the right person who has a presence and has an ability to stand up for Nebraska's opinions while also doing it in a way where you don't butcher relationships along the way. You know, there's certain people who have that gift. It's like they have that gift to have that presence of, like, getting a forceful idea out there, but yet they know when to finesse it, and they sort of they're able to balance it and communicate it well to people. And I don't know how Trev Alberts is going to do it. That I don't want to go overboard after 5 days on the job. What I did think yesterday, having not watched him speak in person a lot, is he's good. He's good on the fly. Like, I mean, he knows what message he wants to say and how to deliver it with some force, but also tact and be candid as well, and you know, not just speak in circles. And so I thought that was he was really impressive yesterday. I know that's a common thing on things like that, but he actually was.
Obviously, Trev Albert's not the only Nebraska representative that spoke at Media Days. Scott Frost had some time as well. Any major takeaways or anything interesting that you got from Coach Frost?
You know, there were some things. A lot of it, though, is sort of like nuts and bolts stuff. And we have reached this point sort of with Husker football where it's sort of like everything's been spoken about kind of multiple times about, yeah, I mean, Adrian's got to bring the turnovers down and take it up a level. You know, all the super seniors are coming back on defense. We've got like these five or six storylines that have really been rehashed ad nauseum. And, you know, you kind of want to go over those again and get more in depth about them, but there's only so much you can say. We've really reached that point where it's like, you know, let's go play ball. And I think Scott Frost and the players were sort of like that too. I mean, they were there and doing their part and very, you know, polite and professional in answering questions. But there's also that, you know, like, let's kick up practice next week and let's just go. You know, that's where we have to prove it. All the other stuff really doesn't mean that much. I like the fact, you know, someone asked him about being picked fifth in the West by the media. And I like the fact that Scott Frost answered, you know, yeah, that's where we should be right now. Where this is based off past results. A couple of years ago, they picked Nebraska first, he said, for probably no deserved reason. And if being picked fifth inspires a few guys a little bit more, all the better. So there wasn't any belly aching or saying, you know, we deserve this or that. We got to go earn it. I think he feels he has a confident football team. I think he feels he has the most talented football team he's had at Nebraska. And I think there's also an understanding that people are skeptical of that until you go put the mistakes away and win field position and actually do it on Saturday.
You know, Brian, it occurs to me that, you know, in that statement he made about where they were picked in the Big Ten West, that it feels like a couple years ago maybe he would have pushed back on that the same way he kind of pushed back on Bill Moose's expectation of six wins a couple years ago. Do you think that's circumstantial? And maybe I'm asking you to read too much into this. You tell me. But do you think that's a circumstantial change in the way Scott Frost is viewing this particular football team? Or do you think his kind of mindset as a head coach has changed more broadly?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there's some humility attached. Whenever you've had some rough seasons, you know, there's a humbling part to that, I think. And you realize this, you know, this is going to be tough. You know, there's good coaches on the other side too. And you've really got to limit your mistakes. I think one thing that was interesting he talked about was when he was at Central Florida, you know, they were sort of able to play that up tempo game and get like 90 to 95 snaps and sort of play it at their speed. And the thing about that is if you have 90 to 95 snaps on offense, it's not like you want to make a mistake, but I think people understand where he's going and what I'm saying here. You can make a mistake or two within that many snaps because there are so many, right? You have so many opportunities and possessions to make up for it. So if you get a little quick and something stupid happens, okay, there's 89 more plays. In the Big Ten, other teams are good about controlling tempo and snap counts go down, and you might only have 65 or so. And if you make a couple mistakes and kill off two possessions, you know, you're in trouble and you end up losing that game by 6 points instead of winning it. And so that's one of the big differences is that you're subtracting like 25 offensive snaps, which means your efficiency needs to go up with the limited opportunities you get.
Brian, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for trekking all the way to Charlotte to go to Indianapolis for Media Days. And we'll talk to you again soon. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
That's our friend Brian Christofferson from Husker 24/7. Great stuff from him. We got to take one more break to round out the first half of the show. We'll come back next with some thoughts on the Olympics with my guy, George, here on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.
Yeah.